Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this afternoon is written in the book of Hebrews, the 4th chapter, beginning with the 14th verse. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, namely Jesus, the Son of God, let us continue to hold on to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who was unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. So let us approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In the days of his flesh, he offered prayers and pleas with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was the Son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. After he was brought to his goal, he became the source of eternal salvation for everyone who obeys him. This is God's word. Dear friends in Christ, today, this afternoon, once again, our attention is directed to the cross of Calvary. We look at Jesus, who was scorned, beaten, nailed to a cross. It was not a pretty sight. But when we look at the results of that sight, it becomes pretty for us. So today, we look to Jesus, the finisher of our faith. First of all, for timely help. He's called a high priest. The great high priest. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, namely Jesus, the Son of God, let us continue to hold on to our confession. Jesus, the great high priest, nailed to the cross on Calvary, but now back in heaven. He ascended on high. And as he is in heaven, he is working for us. He intercedes for us. When we pray to the Lord, to our Father in heaven, we pray in Jesus' name, knowing that Jesus will take that prayer to our Father and see to it that it is heard. He was also tempted to sin. For we do not have a high priest who was unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. He was tempted. How often? A lot. How often are you tempted? A lot. And why was he tempted? Because the devil wanted to somehow lead him to just make one mistake. And he used important things to tempt Jesus. We have the three temptations. One of them says, you're on a high point. If you look all around you, you see the world, it's yours. If you just bow down to me one time. But the Lord said no. He would not give in to those temptations. He was without sin. And so he says to us, you too will be tempted. But you are not alone. He said, I will be by your side. And just as I was perfect, I will see to it that you do not always fall to the devil and his ways, and you certainly will not lose your faith. I will be there to help you whenever you need that help. Several of you people yesterday, when you found out about my sore leg, you asked, what can we do? I said, pray for me. Prayer. It's so important. So let us approach the throne of grace with confidence. Approaching the throne of grace means praying. How often should you pray? the verse in the Bible that is always quoted is, pray without ceasing. When I was a kid, I thought, Pastor, does that mean I have to pray every single minute of the day, my whole life? The pastor's comment is the same comment I have for the young people and for you today also. Get in the habit of praying. And pray not because you're supposed to, but because the Lord wants you to, and do it confidently, knowing that He will hear your prayer and He will answer your prayer. And then I have the complaints. But wait a minute, I prayed to God and it didn't work. I didn't get what I asked for. Well, probably that was happening because it wouldn't have been good for you. You don't know what's best for you. God does. And He says, when you pray to me, I will hear you and I will answer you in the best way possible for you. And that may mean no answer, because you prayed for something you didn't need or shouldn't have. But He says, pray confidently, trusting that I will take care of anything that you ask of me. The results of that prayer, so we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Mercy. Somebody's done something wrong to you. I think you can all understand that. The person that has done something wrong to you now realizes that they shouldn't have done that, and they say, have mercy on me. Or what did the publican in the temple say? Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Because of Jesus' death on the cross, we are now children of God, and God loves us. And so when we say to Him, have mercy on me, forgive me, He's listening, and He's doing it. He's treating you as His children whom He loves. And yes, when you make mistakes and you repent of those mistakes and you say, have mercy on me, He does. He says, your sins are gone. You're forgiven. You are still my child. We also receive grace. Grace, undeserved love. That's the love that God has for us, even though we don't deserve it. We are sinners. We daily disobey God. And yet God continues to love us. A love that prompted Him to tell His Son, you have to go into the world. You have to leave heaven. You have to take upon yourself the form of a human being with all of its weaknesses. And yes, throughout His life, He cried. He was hungry. He was thirsty. He was tired. He was under His Father's laws like we are. But one big difference, He obeyed those laws perfectly for us, because that's what God demanded of us. If we want to get in heaven, we can't do it. So He did it for us. Evidence of God's grace. Today we look at the cross. It's Good Friday. We walk with Him from the temple, from the courtyard rather, of Pilate to Golgotha. We watch Him nailed to the cross. We watch the cross being raised. And we see Him die. Not because He was a criminal, but because we were. He died the death we deserve. And with His death, He said, it is finished. All sins of all people of all time were paid for. Why? Because God in His goodness loves us. That is the grace that we receive from the Lord, who is our helper. What should we then do? Let us continue to hold on to our confession. And that's twofold. First of all, be strong in your faith. Don't doubt that God is there with you. He is. Don't doubt that he is the only way to heaven, because he is the only way to heaven. But also, holding on to your confession means also sharing it, telling others why Maundy Thursday was important, why Good Friday is important, and especially why Easter is important. Jesus is your way to heaven. Tell others so that they too can know the way to eternal life with their Lord. Look to Jesus, the finisher of our faith, for timely help, and then also for eternal salvation. In the days of his flesh, he offered prayers and pleas with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. That refers to the Garden of Gethsemane. And we heard that also. He went there with his disciples, took a few of his chosen ones into the garden. He then left them a little ways away and prayed loudly to his Father. If there is an easier or better way, please let me know. But not my will, but yours be done. You think that was the first time Jesus prayed? Hardly. We're told many times in Scripture that he would leave his disciples, go out into a secluded place, and would pray to his Father. He was human. At times he needed strength. He needed encouragement. And the same thing in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now he was facing death. He needed strength, and we're told the angels came and ministered to him. And then he left. And he did die. He did do what his Father had told him to do. He obeyed him perfectly. Although he was the Son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. And because he obeyed his Father, because he came to this earth and lived that perfect life, because he gave up his life on the cross, therefore, his work is complete. What does that mean for us? First of all, our sins are paid for. I've said this before, but this is one of my most wonderful parts of being a minister. Telling someone who was really concerned about his or her sin, that once they confess that that is a sin, that they've done wrong, I can tell them, you are forgiven. I have seen many people, tears in their eyes, when they receive that assurance that God has forgiven your sins. And then I add the point, and that's because Jesus paid the price for those sins with his death on the cross. And therefore, you are now a child of God. After he was brought to his goal, he became the source of eternal salvation for everyone who obeys him. Salvation is ours. We will too one day rise from the grave. Jesus did on Easter Sunday. We'll celebrate that in 2 days with, again, two services, important services. The devil is defeated. Death has lost its hold. Life will be ours because Jesus overcame death and the devil with his resurrection. Where will we go? Well, first of all, when you die, you'll probably go in the ground. Or if you're cremated, perhaps your ashes will be strewn over whatever. I had a very good buddy who loved to fish in Canada. He said, I don't want a funeral. I want to be cremated, and I want one of you guys to take me up into Canada to this lake and spread my ashes on the water. My brother passed away. It was in the winter time. It was hard for us to get there, so he had the celebration in the spring. His request was, I want my ashes spread over my property. And so his kids did just that. The point is, when you die, your body goes back to the ground, which, in whichever way it happens. But that's not the end. For you, because of what Jesus has done, for his death on the cross and his resurrection, heaven will be your home. Now, if I'd ask each one of you, what is your picture of heaven? I would get all kinds of answers. And almost always, your picture of heaven is something that you really like here on earth, and you'd like it in heaven too. My friend says, when I die and I get to heaven and you're there, I want you to get in a boat with me and we can go fishing. It's fun, right? Or I would love to get on a golf course and get a hole in one. The sad thing is, if I were in heaven, I'd get a hole in one every time. That wouldn't be any fun. The point is, we try to make heaven something earthly. So what is heaven like? I don't know. I do know this. It's perfect. God is there. We will see Jesus. The devil will not be there. Only believers will be there. We don't know what we'll look like, but we do know we'll recognize each other. And it will be forever. John had a glimpse of heaven, and his comment was, I don't have the vocabulary to even begin to describe it. Because you see, our descriptions are sin-infested, and there is no sin in heaven. So all those human ideas don't wash. But it will be a fantastic place. And that's where we will go, because Jesus is the finisher of our faith. Yeah, the cross does not seem to be a very pretty sight. But when you look at the results, it's a beautiful sight for us. He died to make us children of God. He loved us so much that he died for us. The cross makes heaven our home because of Jesus, the finisher of our faith. Amen. And the peace of